Okay. Last week, we delved into the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, and we focused on the nature of the timing of Pidyon HaBen. What is the nature of the 30 days? Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos we spoke about last week, about how it connects to the Chashash Nefel, which is halacha which pertains to Kol HaTorah Kula. But Rashi thinks that is why the Torah is mechayev Pidyon HaBen to be 30 days, because otherwise the child might not live. But it's just a practicality, it's a technicality. Whereas Tosa says that's ridiculous. Tosa says it's Gzeiras HaKasev. The Torah says 30 days. And it happens to be we derive from the fact that the Torah obligated us in the Pidyon HaBen after 30 days, that happens to be Megala and reveals to us that a Nefel, a child, after he lives 30 days, is a living child and that will be one who lives and we're not worried that it's going to die anymore. But that's not the source and that's not connected to the Chi of a Pidyon HaBen. So that's what we focused on for much of the Shir last week. And then we quickly mentioned towards the end of the Shir that within the timing of 30 days, there is a machlokas amongst the poskim, which is really nogei lahalacha to every single Pidyon HaBen. When is the 30 days finished? How do you calculate the 30 days? So we mentioned, I copied off last week's Ma'ar Makomo, so I learned my lesson. So I copied the wrong shach. There were two shachs that I brought in last week's Ma'ar Makomo. And this shach that I copied in source number 4 is a shach in Yerideya, which alludes to, I was trying to bring up point that the shach writes like this in different areas of halacha. I'll tell you in a second. The shach writes in Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, in Simen Shin Hei, which is not on the Ma'ar Makomo, so I apologize. The shach writes that when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, so even though the Mishnah always writes, Lamed Yom, Lamed Yom, Lamed Yom, that's the lashon that we were used to from the last year, and that the Mar Mechoros constantly recites. However, it's not literally Lamed Yom, and it's just the cycle of the moon, which is Chaf Tes Yomim, Yud Beis Shaos, 29 days, 12 hours, and as we said last week, and change. Whatever, tough kufts, I don't know exactly. Larry got the exact number of the change last week, and we'll ask him when he comes. Forget the exact number. Does he quote it in here? All right, whatever. Yeah, Tufshin Tzadi Gimel Chalakim. So it's 29 days, 12 hours. And this chaps a big nafkamin al halacha, because the shach in Yerideya that's not on the Ma'ar Makomos discusses what happens when the Pidyon HaBen is going to be chal, is going to fall out on Shabbos, and the Shulchan Aruch tells us we can't practice the Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos, it's a serious problem. So therefore, what should we do, says the Shulchan Aruch, you automatically have to delay because you can't do it on Shabbos. Comes along the Shach and says, not so fast. Not in every situation do you have to delay. If you already reached this number of 29 days and 12 hours, which is actually a full halachic month, even though it's not necessarily the 31st day yet, says the Shach HaChidosh LaHalacha, be poda and don't delay the mitzvah. Zrizin makdimim, we want to try and accomplish the mitzvah as early as possible, and therefore he would say to do such a pidyon den. Comes along the Magen Avraham in source number 5 and says, absolutely not. That's not true. In order to be obligated in mitzvah Pidyon HaBen, Mr. Shach, you're wrong. You need to be on the 31st day. You need to complete a cycle of 30 days. It's not enough to just follow the cycle of the moon and the halachic chodesh, which would be, again, these numbers are very close, but there will be times on the 30th day, depending on when your wife wants to schedule the Pidyon HaBen, even disconnected to Shabbos, that you might have to figure out, wait a second, this might be a good Pidyon according to the Shach, but it might not be a good Pidyon according to the Magen Avraham. Or this might be a good Pidyon according to the Magen Avraham because it's already the 31st day. But hypothetically, it's interesting, but the 31st day might not necessarily be after 29 days and 12 hours. Because if you were born right right before Shkia and you count the 30 days from then, it is hypothetically possible that you won't have both calculations. So it's what to keep in mind. The poskim say, try to be choshish for both. May Iker Adin, the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, like the Magen Avraham, that as long as halachically, now the 31st day has started, that is sufficient. And that's what we pointed out at the end of Shir last week, that it's interesting, when it comes to Mila, Mitzvahs Mila, we wake up so early, we have to run out of bed to the earliest minyan, Zrizim Makdimim, we try to have the Mitzvahs Mila on the 8th day as early as possible. And when it comes to Pinyan Aben, suddenly the minhag is to do it later in the day. Where did this come from? So I said last week, so I always thought because at the Pinyan Aben you're serving Chinese and no one's going to have that in the morning. But the answer is, the poskim say no, it's because we want to be choshish, we want to make sure that you're taking into cheshbon, that you're making sure you're not just technically the 31st day, but you actually went through the hours of the 29 days and 12 hours. Fine. Oh, beautiful. I couldn't have timed it better. Beautiful. So comes along the Magen Avraham. We're getting to that right now. Comes along the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham says, listen, Shach, I understand what you're saying. Halachically, a month in all of Halacha, and like the Rambam says in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, a month is exactly the cheshbon that the Shach is presenting, 29 days, 12 hours. Fine. However, says the Magen Avraham, when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, I have a Gemara that says exactly what I'm saying. Look at the Gemara in source number one, says the Magen Avraham. Meis HaBen B'toch Shloshim Yom, as we discussed in great detail last week, different cases of that, the child did not make it for the full 30 days. Afal pi shenasan l'kohen yachzir, even if the Kohen already has the money that you gave it to him during those 30 days, he should give it back because this child is not obligated in the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. If the child dies after 30 days, then you're not off the hook. The chiv exists, even if the child didn't live past 30. The second he lives 30 days, the obligation is there, even if he dies at day 40. Meis biyom shloshim. What happens if Punkti dies on day 30? Now we got a din Torah, we got to go to Beis Din. Do we say day 30 is like early, or do we say day 30, the Kohen's going to fight with the Balabas? I want my money, you want to keep it. What's going on over here? Comes along the Gemara and says, Yom Shloshim Ki Yom Shelefanov. The Rabbanan, the first opinion in the Gemara presented, is that the 30th day is insufficient. You have to live the whole 30th day. If he dies on the 30th day, so then what? You give back the money, and you, if you didn't give the money, you're not obligated to give the money. How do we know that? Comes along the Gemara and says, my time of the Rabbanan. What did the rabbis learn this from? What's the source? Gamrei Chodesh, Achodesh Bachodesh mi Midbar. Just like the Chodesh says in the Midbar when it's discussing, counting up in Bamidbar, all of the Ben Chodesh Vamala, all of those when it was making the population, deciding the populace and making the census of who, how many people were in Am Yisrael, and we had a mitzvah, the Rabbanan Shalom commanded us in Bamidbar to count. So the Torah says, a lashon of Bachodesh. Mahosam, it says Bachodesh Vamala. It means a month and onward, Vamala. Afachanami, so too by Pidyon HaBen. It's not just sufficient to have 30 Yom Shloshim. It means Yom Shloshim Vamala. So we have a Gzeir Sakosav, we have a Pasuk to tell me that it's specifically 30 days and onward. So comes along the Magen Avraham and his sharp ability to learn Gemaras. He didn't just, you know, we learn Gemaras sometimes with Pesukim, we're just like, oh, this is an easy one. We'll just read the Pasuk. Look at the Magen Avraham did. Magen Avraham said, before I had the Gzeiros HaKosav, learning out from this other Parsha, that 30 has to be 30 and onward. So what was my rationale? What did I think? So says the Magen Avraham, obviously I would have thought, when the Torah said 30 days, like the Shach, that it was Chof Tes Yamim, a halachic month. Chof Tes Yamim, Yud Bei Shos, whatever is the halach in Kol HaTorah Kula of a Chodesh. But then comes the Pasuk, learning out from Bamidbar, to tell me over here, it's not enough to have a halachic Chodesh, and I need something else, Vamala. I need a halachic Chodesh plus more. So what does Vamala come and tell me? Obviously you need day 31. So says the Magen Avraham, this Gemara is a proof to my Shita. This Gemara obviously had a rationale, had a Cheshbon out, Pidyon HaBen, prior to learning out from Bamidbar, and then the Torah says Bamidbar comes to tell me something in addition. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, it's exactly to refute the Shach. The Shach thinks that the Halachic Chodesh is equivalent to whatever Halachic Chodesh by Pidyon HaBen is equivalent to the Halachic Chodesh in general. But that's exactly what the Gemara in Bechoros was coming to tell you. Don't think like that. It would have been like that, and comes along the Chiv in Bechoros that we learn from Bidbar that we need Vamala. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, you have a raya to me that it has to be on day 31 at the completion of 30 full days, and it has nothing to do with the Halachic Chodesh. So Jerome asks, well, what about Miktas HaYom Kukulo? Comes along Rabbi Yashiv in his Ha'aris in Meseches Bechoros, and he says, how is the Shach going to get around the Magen Avraham's question? How is he going to learn the Hava Amin of the Gemara? Clearly the Gemara is coming to tell you something extra. What would I have thought without the Gzeiras HaKosov? What would I have, if the Shach at the end of the day is saying the Chiv of Pidyon HaBen is the Halachic Chodesh, is Chof Tes Yamin 29 days and 12 hours and change, so then what were you thinking before you were learning from elsewhere that taught you Vamala? Comes along Rabbi Yashiv and says exactly what you said. He says, you would have thought it's enough to have Miktas HaYom Kukulo. I don't even need a full 29 days. I don't even need the 29 days and 12 hours. Maybe just the Miktas, and that's enough. And I don't even need to go through the cycle, because there's a halachic concept, like we are all familiar most of the time from Hilchos Avelos, that a person does not have to sit Shiva the full seventh day. But he gets up in the middle of the day because he practice the Avelus at least partially, so at the end of the series of the 7 days, we can view it as if he sat for 7 full days, because Miktas HaYom Kukulo, because partially the day is considered as if you sat for the entire day. So too, maybe one would apply such a halacha to the halacha of Pidyon HaBen, and you wouldn't have to have the complete halachic entire chodesh of what the Shach was saying. Kamash Malon Vamala Michodesh Yamin Vamala, says Rabbi Yashiv, that's the way the Shach learned, that at the end of the day, keep the Chodesh the way it is. Don't apply any fancy schmancy stuff. No Miktas HaYom Kukulo. Leave the Chodesh unadulterated, not touched. You should have the entire Halachic Chodesh. So whereas the Magen Avraham is saying, no, it's bumping it up from the regular Halachic Chodesh to be beyond the Chodesh, that it's going to be on day 31. That was what the Chodesh Vamala was coming to tell me. The Shach was saying, no, the Hava Amina was, maybe I don't even need a complete Halachic Chodesh. Maybe I can rely on the Halachic principle of Miktas HaYom Kukulo, let me just keep a partial amount, and that will be sufficient for the full month. Says the Pasuk Vamala from Midbar that you need the complete Halachic Chodesh, and you can't think like that. This discussion got started last week because we were presented the opinion of the Maharshal. The Maharshal suggested, without any cheshbonos, without anything fancy, just do the Pidyon on Friday, even if you hold like the Magen Avraham, even if you think that the Chiv is only on day 31, and the Pidyon HaBen falls out on Shabbos and we don't know what to do. Says the Maharshal, give the money to the Kohen and say that it should be Chal on Shabbos on day 31. So the Shach's not so excited about that, and it's a tremendous debate amongst the Poskim. If the Kohen does not have the money anymore, once Shabbos comes around, or once the 31st day comes around, and it's Nisachlu Amos, the money is gone, we discussed last week, there's a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, if the Pidyon is good or not. And we connected it to the Machlokas Rashi and Tosas from last week. But the Shach argues that from Shulchan Aruch, apparently, that was not okay. And the Pidyon HaBen cannot, everyone's assuming that the Pidyon HaBen cannot be done on Shabbos. And what we left off with last week was, why? What is the big deal with having the Pidyon on Shabbos? We're all off from work anyways. Why don't we just do it on Shabbos? What's the problem? What are you going to tell me? Oh, it's Mukta? That's the problem? That's not a problem. Get something worth 5 coins. That's also acceptable halacha to do a Pidyon HaBen. So it's not about the money. So what is the problem? Comes along the Trumas Hadeshin, and the Trumas Hadeshin in source number 3 says this shaila: is it a problem to have a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos? Trumas Hadeshin says, Yom Lamed Aleph Shel B'chor in source number 3. Sheba Oso Yom Poden Oso Imchal B'Shabbos Heyach Yasu. What's the din if the 31st day falls out on Shabbos? Tzrichim Lahamti B'Vidyon Arecha B'Shabbos. Do we have to wait till Sunday? Om Yesh Takonish Yenifta B'Shabbos. What's the halacha? Shmuel Zadeshen wrote his own shaylos. That's why his shaylos are the best, because he wrote his shaylos to himself. It wasn't he made up his shaylos and then he wrote the tshuvas to answer them. So they're the most geshmak shaylos. So the Shulchan Aruch is following this tshuva of the Shmuel Zadeshen, but I'd like to focus on the rationale of the Shmuel Zadeshen. So in the middle of the tshuva, I quote part of the tshuva. In the middle of the tshuva, the Shmuel Zadeshen, he's discussing the whole debate Rav and Shmuel that we discussed last week, and then he says, but how could it work? So I'm going to do the pidyon before Shabbos, and it's going to take effect on Shabbos. V'myasa asude b'Shabbos, shekvar podoy, I already was pod to him. Imlonis achlu amos, man neimolin de'ikar pisume ki agavna. If we're not actually giving the coins at the time of the suda, we're going to give the coins before Shabbos, and then the suda is going to be on Shabbos when everyone's around. You're not actually doing anything, the coins, not even relevant now. That's Pursume Nisa. The whole point of the Suda is to be Mefarsim. The mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is to publicize it. Now you're gonna do it then? How can we make a Suda? The Suda, Heyach Yasim HaBracha, says the Trumas HaDeshen. And when are you going to make a Bracha? The Birkas Pidyon Meshech Yonu, because you have two Brachas to make. You have to make a Birkas Pidyon, and you have to make the Shech Yonu. You have to recite two Brachas at the time of the Pidyon. Im yivarech be'erev Shabbos, if you're going to make the bracha before Shabbos when you give the money, b'shas nesinas hamos, at the time that I give it to the kohen, and I say I want it to take effect on Shabbos, akati ein b'no padoy, how can you make the bracha then? It's not a pidyon, it's not true what you're saying. Al pidyon aben, it's not a pidyon yet. You have to wait till Shabbos. At least according to the Shmuel, if the money is going to be there, v'gam l'rav, akati lo mechayel iftoso, and even according to Rav, that if the money is gone, it still works, it takes effect, and it takes effect later even if the money is gone. But you're not obligated yet. It's not 30 days. However you slice the lumdus from last week, Rashi and Tosos, everyone agrees at the end of the day you need 30 days for whatever reason. So how are you going to make a bracha? How can I say, and God commanded us? Where? You're not obligated yet. Wait till Shabbos. You'll be obligated. Day 31. Fine. Ube Shabbos ain't roi levarich. Next line, the Shabbos, and on Shabbos you're gonna make a bracha when you're not actually doing anything. The lav midi kavid ashto umimela ben padi. It's all happening automatically. It's you set up in the transaction that the son should be podeh from my original action in the transaction that I did before Shabbos. Now you're gonna make a bracha when you're passive, when you're not even doing anything. It's just taking effect because you're your condition. So the Shmuel Zadeshen is very bothered. I just don't. He says, I don't see how the video is going to come out on this Pidyon HaBen. People are going to look at it this 20 years later, says the Shmuel Zadeshen, and this video is going to be a flop. Like, what? You're going to show this at the Sheva Brachas? Come on. Well, what? They're going to say, look at this family. They didn't make Brachas, and the Suda, they don't even have a coin here. What? This is the best thing the Shmuel Zadeshen can come up with? I don't understand. Comes along with Kiva Eger and his Tshuvas. And he says, I have a much better reason that the Trumas HaDeshen, L'chora, totally forgot about. Comes along Reb Kiva Eger, and Reb Kiva Eger says, what happened to the halacha that's all over Masecha Shabbos, all over Shulchan Aruch? I'm not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos. And I am now making a transaction, I am acquiring something on Shabbos, the Kohen is getting his cash, I'm getting my son back, we're making a total transfer, the Kedusha's flying in the air, and this is like Ein Makdishim B'Shabbos. You can't make something Hektish on Shabbos, you can't make Kinyonim on Shabbos, I can't be Kona anything from the store on Shabbos, this is all prohibited. Why is it prohibited? The Gemara says, Gzeira Shema Yichtov. We're worried that if you're going to transfer property, you're going to acquire, you're going to even be Makdish something to the Beis Hamikdash, a person is going to take note. He's going to write a person keeps a cheshbon. He keeps his iPod. He puts his notes inside. He makes sure to keep track of all of his transactions. And therefore, we're worried. Gzeira midrabanan. And therefore, Chazal prohibited all transactions, all means of acquisition, to be done on Shabbos. Says Reb Kiva Eger. So why the Trumas HaDeshen miss that? That seems to be the simplest answer. So Reb Kiva Eger says, but one second. Is it true what I am assuming? Let's say you have a transaction that the actual physical transaction was done before Shabbos, as we would say in halacha, the maisa kinyan, the active part of the transaction. When we're transferring the money, we're doing it, that's before Shabbos. But we're just stipulating that the actual ownership should only be transferred and take effect on Shabbos. Was that included in Chazal's prohibition of transactions on Shabbos? So Reb Kivager says, I'm not sure. Do I have any proofs to such an idea in Shabbos? Comes along Reb Kivager in his unbelievable Bekiyas, and he brings a proof from Maseches Yuma, from the Avoda of the Yom Kippur, of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippur, in source number 2. I'm going to talk about it outside. We can reference the discussion. The Gemara is presenting here a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan of whether or not we are concerned that the spouse of the Kohen Gadol during the Avoda on Yom Kippur will die. If she, Chas V'Shalom, dies, we have a serious problem on our hands that we cannot complete the Avoda. Because part of the Avoda on Yom Kippur was that the Kohen Gadol would take one of the pars and be mechaper and atone ba'ado u'ba'ad beiso, for himself and for his family. And the Gemara says, beiso zu ishto. This is a Kohen Gadol who is married to a wife. If Nebuch, he doesn't have a wife during Yom Kippur because she dies on Yom Kippur, so that would be a serious issue with the Avoda. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, that we should set up a way that he could potentially, no matter what happens, be married to a woman on Yom Kippur. So the Rabbanan say, nah, we're not so worried that this is going to happen, that she's going to die. Relax, we're not so concerned. This is Yom Kippur's tomorrow. We know what's going to happen from today until tomorrow. Relax. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to do all these combos. And the Gemara goes in Yud Gimel and Aleph in Yuma, discussing all these different variations of what you're going to do. You're going to marry the woman from Erev Yom Kippur. But then you don't want him to have two wives, because the Torah says, Ba'ado u'ba'ad beiso, v'lo ba'ad batehem. He doesn't have two wives. We're talking about one wife. So the Gemara says, I have to make sure that he's only going to be married to one woman, but I have to make sure that he's going to be married to one woman, and he's only going to be married to one woman. So he has to be married a potential second wife, a substitute, but he has to divorce her, al-tnai, that this wife is going to, and that the divorce is not going to take effect on the condition that this first wife dies. Or the Gemara goes into complicated cheshbonos to somehow find a scenario that he could be married to this one and not this one, in case this one dies and in case this one dies. The Gemara is, what should I write? What should I write in the get? What's complicated cheshbon? But at the end of the day, the Gemara is trying to fish a way to be able to be married always to one wife, but to make sure that you have a substitute on Yom Kippur automatically in case one of the wives die. Okay? So if this one stays alive, so I'm not going to be married to this one. But if this one dies, then I'm going to marry to this one. So you have to write all these different conditions into the get. So the Gemara discusses the get to this one or the get to that one. Fine. Comes along the Shagas Aryeh. And the Shagas Aryeh asks the following question. Why is the Gemara so complicated? I have a very simple solution. Why don't you just marry a second wife before Yom Kippur with no issue, and stipulate that this marriage should only take effect if the first one dies? And you'll tell me it's Brera. You don't know when she's going to die. And that's an issue that the Gemara is always concerned with. If I don't know the exact second, the Shagas Aryeh writes, it's not Brera, because I don't want the Kiddushin necessarily to take effect now. I want the Kiddushin to take effect later. What's the problem? Why can't I do the Maisa Kiddushin now on Erev Yom Kippur, and it will take effect later on Yom Kippur if it turns out that she dies and I didn't do anything wrong on Yom Kippur? Comes along Reb Kiva Eger. Kiva Eger says, apparently, that was not an option for the Gemara in Yuma. Because apparently, even though I'm giving the woman the money and the ring before Yom Kippur, if the actual Kiddushin is taking effect on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, meaning Yom Kippur meaning like Shabbos, so then that is also a violation of the Drabbanon that the Torah was worried about marrying on Yom Kippur and on Shabbos. So the Rebbe Kveger comes from left field, brings a raya from the Avodah on Yom Kippur to this question that is relevant not only for stock orders, possibly, but also for Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. What happens if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos and you can't sell? So the Poskim pointed out that we want to make sure that the sale takes effect not only before Pesach, but before even Shabbos. Because we don't want to set up a situation like some suggested. Let's do the Mechira now on Thursday and let it be Chal on Friday. On Shabbos. Saturday night is Pesach, right? So let's do the sale on Friday and let it be Chal only. It's only going to take effect on Shabbos, and then I'll be able to eat my chametz throughout Shabbos with no problem because it's still mine. No, because that's going to be a problem, says many of the poskim, because the kinyan is taking effect on Shabbos, and that also is a problem of kinyanim on Shabbos. So just like Reb Kiva Eger is answering the Shagas Aryeh's issue that we couldn't have had this resolution when it came to the avoda of Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol to marry and should take effect later, so too on Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, and possibly when it comes to stock orders, this might have relevance. Because if I decide before Shabbos, before Yontif is going in, because the stock market is not open on Shabbos, but if before Yontif is going in, so I say I want to sell at this price and automatically takes effect at the price that I order, so then the Mechira will be automatic. I relinquished my ownership already from before Shabbos. I'm not involved. So hypothetically, this would be an issue if Rabbi Akiva Eger is correct, like he suggests, that apparently you see from the Gemara and Yuma that this was an issue. But Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, Rav Kiva Eger kind of leaves you hanging. Okay, he found the Gemara in Yuma that talks about this case where the physical transaction was prior to Shabbos, it takes effect on Shabbos, and that seems to be a problem. But at the end of the day, the Trumas Hadeshen was not concerned about this when it came to Pidyon HaBen. Let's remember where we're coming from. The Trumas Hadeshen, again, let's play back the video. The Trumas Hadeshen is saying the problem with your video of the Pidyon HaBen that's going to fall out on Shabbos that you're going to do before Shabbos, it's going to be a problem of Pursume Nisa. It's going to be a problem of when am I going to make the brachos. The Trumas Hadeshen did not say that the issue was going to be because I can't have a kinyan that's starting the Maisa kinyan, the physical transaction is before Shabbos, and it's only taking effect on Shabbos. Why, if Rabbi Kiva Eger is right, like he proves from the Gemara in Yuma, so the Trumas Hadeshen should have said much better that that's the reason it was a problem. So Rabbi Kiva Eger himself starts off with the truth of the Trumas Hadeshen, goes to the Gemara in Yuma, and he never comes back to explain why the Trumas Hadeshen wasn't bothered by the Gemara in Yuma. Why didn't the Trumas Hadeshen use this reason to why it's prohibited to have an Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos? Apparently he was not in agreement with your Pesach, Rabbi Kiva Eger. So Rav Moshe Feinstein argues that he thinks Rabbi Kiva Eger was aware about this. Rabbi Kiva Eger didn't just forget about the Trumas Hadeshen. But when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, says Rav Moshe, we need to really analyze if this is 100% correct and accurate, that what's going on is really a transference. Although the Sforno writes that a child, before he has a Pidyon HaBen, he has full Kedusha, and he's like a carbon, and the Pidyon HaBen is a way to remove the Kedusha, and there actually is some sort of transference from Hekdesh, from the ownership of God, of Hekdesh, of the Beis HaMikdash, to going to be a normal person, and that is transferred during the Pidyon HaBen. Rav Moshe says, this Pidyon is not a real Pidyon. It's not like a Pidyon that we have by Behemoth, by Kodshim, that we have the ability to be Podeh onto money or onto something else in order to remove the Kedusha off of the animal or something else, the Maaser Sheni. That's not what's going on here. So there's no real transfer, and there's no real Kedusha in the first place argues Rav Moshe. My apologies for all the drushes for the Pidyon HaBen, says Rav Moshe. But that's not the Pashup shot in what's going on in Pidyon HaBen. We call it a Pidyon. Yeah, the Poskim write. And they like they write over here by Shabbos. It's Doma Lemekach Umemker. It's similar. It looks, it schmecks a little bit of a transference, but there isn't technically, halachically, something that's transferred. However, writes Rav Moshe, but on the other hand, even though we don't refer to it as this, we call it a Pidyon HaBen, but the Vilna Gaon was of the opinion, and this is a tremendous discussion in other areas of halacha, that the Vilna Gaon viewed Pidyon HaBen as a regular payment of a loan. I owe the Kohen this amount of money, and I come to pay back my chiv, my chov, like as if he lent me money, and I have to pay back that loan. The Lashon of the Vilna Gaon is a Pidyon HaBen, is a Piron HaChov. And therefore the Vilna Gaon wants to argue a few halachos that there should be no problem to pay it with a shliach, with a messenger. There's absolutely no problem because all this is a mere Piron HaChov. And just like Beis Din can collect from my property without my knowledge if I owe the money and I deny and I don't want to pay, so too, for the Pidyon HaBen, Beis Din could be Yorid L'Nechasai. It's a regular Piron HaChov. If I make a stipulation to you that I'm only going to pay Stam Halva Shloshim Yom, I'm not going to pay you back 30 days. You got to give me some time to invest the money. I need some time. So too the Torah said there's a chiv, there's a chov that's going on, is going on for 30 days. The chiv exists 30 days. We have all over Shas. The stipulation is that I'm only going to pay you back. The Gemara says even a Stam Halva, even if we don't stipulate, the Gemara says you can't come to collect me before 30 days. Okay, you're right. So here the chov was not, it's a chov that's machmas haTorah. You're right. The Torah created a mitzvah, and from that mitzvah now there is a chiv, there's a chov, but it doesn't exist before 30 days. Nachon. So writes Rav Moshe, so okay, I argue that it's not really mekach u'memker, there's no real transference, but maybe it is a piron haChov, like the Vilna Gaon says, and you can't pay back a chov on Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch writes. It's aser lefro haChov. Lefro a halva, to pay back a loan on Shabbos. So then Rav Moshe says, yeah, but we know when it comes back paying back loans, if you change the terminology sometimes, or if you borrow something and you don't use the language of halva, but rather you use the language of she'ela, of borrowing an object, so sometimes that will already be a heter in the realm of a loan or borrowing something. So Rav Moshe says, so over here, we're not calling it a halva, we're not calling it a chov, we're calling it a pidyon. Yeah, but Rav Moshe says, but if you use the language of pidyon, so then it looks like you're using a language that it's actually a transference. Because pidyon has the mashmos, sounds like something that's actually a transaction, something that's actually transferring from kedusha to chol. So Rav Moshe says, you're right. On a regular scenario, that would be the case, and a Pidyon HaBen can take a place if you're actually doing it like this on Shabbos straight up. Because either it's using the wrong language, Pidyon, it's not, even according to the Vilna Gaon, that's Piron HaChov, the fact that I'm switching to the language of Pidyon is not going to help me. Or, according to those poskim, it's Doma L'Mekach U'Memker, so it smells like it. But Rav Moshe writes, if you take care of it, that you do the pidyon before Shabbos. You do a ma'azah shinoi, something out of the ordinary completely, that you're not going to be similar at all, since Rav Moshe argues initially, according to any one of the poskims, however you slice it, it's not a real pidyon transference, and we're now doing it beforehand, and it really looks different. You do a complete shinoi, so then everyone will be in agreement, even the Trumas HaDeshen will be in agreement, where you're not actually transferring anything, and you're not actually being poda hektish, removing the kedusha off of anything, because the son is not really holy or sanctified, so therefore, the Trumas HaDeshen wasn't really concerned over here about kinyonim that fall out on Shabbos, because there's no real kinyon here. Sorry to burst your bubble, there's no real kinyan. And even according to the Gra, that it's a Piron HaChov, but we refer to it as something else. So you'll tell me, yeah, but we refer to it as something that technically should have been prohibited, even though it's not true, it's not a real pidyon. Yes, so Rav Moshe says, so if you do something totally out of the ordinary, that you do it before Shabbos, that should take care of everything, and that's why the Trumas HaDeshen was not concerned with a kinyan that starts before Shabbos when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, that's Chal on Shabbos. But argues Rav Moshe, outside of Pidyon HaBen, when you're really dealing with a transaction, when you're actually taking ownership on something, you're actually relinquishing something and allowing someone else to acquire on Shabbos, and you did that action and the action of a transaction prior to Shabbos, Moshe says, then Rabbi Akiva Eiger is absolutely correct. Then the Gemara in Yuma says what it says. You cannot do a transaction that actually does have an authentic transfer of ownership, even if it's automatically taking place on Shabbos. And therefore, one has to be concerned with whether it's stock orders, whether it's Erev Pesach Chalios B'Shabbos, these transactions that will take effect automatically on Shabbos, even though I'm not touching any money, I'm not talking to anyone on Shabbos. We stipulated this prior to Shabbos. Comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein and says, absolutely not. That is where Rabbi Akiva Eiger is correct. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger didn't miss the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen was talking about Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is not a real transference. Pidyon HaBen is nothing, we just explained. So therefore the Trumas Hadeshen wasn't worried. But of course the Trumas Hadeshen would agree to the source of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, to the Gemara in Yuma, where it's talking about a real transaction, or potentially any one of these other issues that we talked about, that you're stipulating before Shabbos, that the transaction should take effect, where there's a real authentic transfer of ownership, that would be usher and prohibited even if I didn't do anything on Shabbos. That is the psak of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe is writing the tshuva, he ends off the tshuva and he says, you got a shaili, want to know if you can tell a person, I don't know what Rav Moshe is writing, if a person could tell his stockbroker to buy and sell at a certain price on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So I'm not really sure why Rav Moshe was discussing Shabbos, because I don't think it's right. There's none of this is open on Shabbos, but apparently Rav Moshe was just writing Shabbos Yom Tov. What?
Japan, no, okay,
fine.
Markets that are open.
So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva, this is all about something that happens automatically on Shabbos, maybe more similar to an order, or something like similar to the Kinyan of Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos, the Mechiras Chametz. But if you're telling a Gentile to buy at a certain price, right? So that's tantamount to instructing him to do something for you at a certain time. So that there's no difference because you decided before Shabbos, writes Rav Moshe, that at this certain price you should buy and sell. And says Rav Moshe, that's a real bona fide Amir al-Akum. That's not mutter. Says Rav Moshe, that would be absolutely prohibited on either Shabbos or more practically Yontif to tell him to buy and sell at a certain price. And that's the way Rav Moshe ends his tshuva.
It's $20 Shabbat because the stock market goes at 4:30 on Friday.
Ah, and you were Mekabel Shabbos already. Good, very nice. I like it. I like it. He was talking about where you're instructing a stockbroker to carry this out for you.
It's automated. When it's automatic, the computer does it.
But you're saying, right? Right. No, that's not what Ramesh was. Ramesh was talking, instructing a person. Yeah. Yeah. Lachora. Yeah. Lachora. Shabbos clock. Stock market on Shabbos clocks. Okay. Comes along Ratzi Pesach Frank. And Ratzi Pesach Frank quotes the Gemara in source number 6. I'll say the Gemara outside. The Gemara in source number 6 is discussing the sugya in Yevamos, talking about a person being makne adavar shelo ba'olam. This is a sugya that we discussed in great detail last year when we were talking about futures, options. And we discussed that we are of the opinion that if the item is not in my control, the item is not in my domain, I don't have the ability, or it's even not in existence, I don't have the ability to acquire it or sell it because I don't own it. It's not in existence. It's not in this world. So the Gemara there is discussing a few opinions that are of the opinion that it's not so restrictive and I have the ability to acquire or sell things that are not necessarily in my domain and are going to be coming to my domain. So the Gemara was talking there about being mafresh trumas and maaseris on something, on fruits that will come to my property, and I want to be mafresh it before Shabbos comes. So the Rishonim say there, and the Rishonim, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk that according to this Manda Amr, it's okay, there's a special drasha to allow it for Shabbos, L'chavar Oneg Shabbos, that you're allowed to do it, fine. So the Rishonim there are bothered, but the halacha is that when you're mafish trumas and maiseris, it has to be fruits that are connected to the kri that you're going to mafish it from. It has to be minamukaf. It has to be from its surroundings. You have to take off a fruit from whatever it's going to be matir, from its surroundings, the rest of the pile of fruit. So the Gemara says over here, if you don't have the fruits in your domain, it's coming tomorrow, a UPS delivery, how are you going to be minamukaf? That's one of the issues that the Rishonim are dealing with. So some of the Rishonim are saying, say that that's part of the pasuk, that you don't need special heter of Oneg Shabbos. We can forget about the halacha that it has to be near its surrounding fruits, minamukaf, and that's not a problem. However, comes along the Ramban and the Ritva in that Gemara, and the Ramban and the Ritva say, no, I'm stipulating that the Hafrashas Trumos and Maisris should take place when they arrive and sit next to the rest of the fruits on Shabbos when the UPS delivery comes. I want it to be Minamukov. I want it to take effect. I'm going to be Mafresh that it should be Chal on Shabbos. So comes along the Achronim and Yevamos, and they say, isn't this an Ahartzvi or Tzvi Zachrank? Say, apparently this is a proof the opposite direction, that a king in a transaction can take effect on Shabbos as long as I stipulate it beforehand, as long as it's automatic and I'm not doing anything on Shabbos. So comes along our Tzvi Zachrank and makes the following distinction. And he says, and there's another Gemara in Eirvin, also in Hafrashas Trumas Maisis, and with this we're going to close. Tzvi Pesach Frank says, it depends. I think there's a distinction. In terms of the Isser Hamakne, there is no Isser if the transference is happening. I did everything I needed to do before Shabbos and I stipulated that it's only going to take effect on Shabbos. The Makne is the one who's relinquishing his ownership. He's being Mocher. He's giving. He's giving up his ownership. However, in terms of the Kone, says Tzvi Pesach Frank, most of the time, the fact that he is getting something on Shabbos and Yontif, that is going to be an Isser, even if it's happening automatically. Because now he's going to check it off in his bank account, he's going to write it on his script, oh, I just got another piece of property, I just got another item, I just got another fruit. So therefore, argues Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, these Gemaras from Trumas and Maisris, or he has other Gemaras, Legabe Hektish, that's not going to be a problem and a proof against Rav Kiva Eger, because according to my distinction, it makes perfect sense. We're talking about the scenario over here to giving it to Shevet Kahuna. You're not actually giving it to a specific individual. So there is no Kona on Shabbos for this to be prohibited. So here Rabbi Kivager's right. If I stipulate a Kinyan before Shabbos, the Makne, the person relinquishing, the person selling, he doesn't have any issues. But the Kona has an issue. However, the Sugis in Yevamis, the Sugis that talk about Trumas and Maisris, the Sugis that talk about Hektish, where there is no Kona, it's talking about Kedusha Beis HaMikdash, it's talking about Shevet Kahuna, there's no specific person that's violating Shabbos, that is where these sources are saying that such a stipulation would be permitted on Shabbos. Yeshikaya.